Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from November the 30th, 2022, final day of the month of November. And although a somewhat shortened week with the holiday last week, we still had a decent amount of action occurring. And we'll start with this week's action being in the major index overview, as well as the Dolly asset allocation overview. And first, taking a look at the index performance that we've seen over the past week, we did see international equities lead the way to the upside, with EEM being up over 2.5%, And then from there, with EFA also being up over 50 basis points there as well, up almost 60 basis points. From there, leading the way to the downside, GSG for commodities, broadly speaking, down to almost 2.5%. And from the U.S. equity perspective, saw a bit of a mixed bag, as we did see the Russell 1000 up in positive territory, but the S&P 500 down in negative territory, down over 1%. Taking a look at that chart of the S&P 500, we did see a reversal down last week, or actually beginning this week, pardon me, and have seen continue to see a move lower in a current column of those after we met resistance here at 4020. And at the moment, still have support here at 3920. That was the recent pullback that we might see retest here. But from here, a move above 4040 would be a second consecutive buy signal, completing a triple top. And from there, from longer term perspective, still keeping an eye on the bullish support line here at 3760. Coming on over to the chart of EFA, still seeing it test that bearish resistance line, but a move to 67 would actually move it back into a positive trend. We've talked about it a couple of times, but did just want to bring, although leading the way to the upside with international equities, still haven't seen that trend flip. From the indicators perspective, we did see the percent positive weekly momentum for the S&P 500, one of the shorter term indicators, just measuring that percentage of stocks with positive weekly momentum. And at this point, we've seen it reverse down after rallying up to 94% on the chart here, and has now fallen down to 78% as we see some of the stocks move back to a negative weekly momentum. Other than that, not a whole lot of indicator action, but we are keeping an eye on the NYSE high-low index right now. It's within 1% of potentially reversing down, but does still sit in a column of X's at 58% at this time. Moving on over to Dolly, the major change this week was we saw domestic equities and commodities technically move into a tie, but we actually saw domestic equities overtake commodities for that second position following the tiebreaker. And that obviously has impacted the rankings at the moment, with domestic equities moving into second, commodities falling to third, and we actually now have international equities within 8 signals of both asset classes as well. So seeing some tightness here as far as the signals are within the positions 2 through 3 of the asset class level within Dolly. From there, we saw energy commodities fall down from first to last place within the commodity space. It's lost 14 signals over the past week, and at this point is fallen down into that last position below industrial metals, and we've seen precious metals move up to the top spot. From there, not much else has changed within Dolly. Sector rankings under domestic equities as well as size and style remain stable at the moment. We see consumer cyclical and technology continue to jockey for position, but really not much change otherwise there. But for more on the asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we move into the close of November, we're opening up the December timeframe, the close of the year. Let's cover where we stand here as we approach the close for November. The money market percentile rank actually moves down over the week. It's actually in the 60s now. We haven't seen that level in a while, so that's actually good news. And the core percentile rank is commensurately moving higher at some robust levels. The bullish percent for all equity funds remains the same as it has been for a week or 10 days. No new action there. As we take a look at the asset classes that score above 3 and above 4, we're in the kind of the same boat we've been mentioning for several weeks. There is some challenges in the score above 3 area, and we just see a lot of vibrance in there. With that said, consumer non-6 are still showing some good score, and I would say score trending, as is small value. So again, there are some scores that are moving higher. To echo something that David mentioned, we do see a slip in the overall commodities score. This down move in commodities and commensurate up move in the core score line that you see on the rightmost part of this chart is really a function of November. So a pretty big slip in the commodities. I don't think this story of the challenge between commodities and equity is over. Hey, but that's why we review data, just to find out where we are. As we take a look at the value growth paradigm, I see the value funds do still hold some of the best scores we've seen in a half year, and look like they're trending higher. The growth counterpart is still kind of meandering sideways, and clearly the value overgrowth paradigm is clear and remains clear as we move into the close of the year. As we take a look at the risk and the scores and how they're laid out, there's been some upticks and downticks over the week, but the calculation is still positive, telling us to look for higher risk, certainly higher than cash risks out the curve. And then as we look at the long-term moving averages, I still see some upticks here. So they're small, but they're there. So we're heading in the right direction for a recovery of equity with 50-day and 200-day moving averages in mind. As we take a look at the overall all equity funds trend indicator, which measures all mutual funds, all ETFs, all implied indices, it actually moved up another box this week. We've added it. We've got some follow through. We're near the 60% level on the entire fund universe being in a positive trend. These newcomers that got us off the 50 line are old trends turning positive to the new side. And I we have hundreds of funds around the universe turning positive. So it is a factor, and I say it's very real. So something's going on out there that's bullish. The real question is who is the bullishness for? And that's where we have to rely on our score systems, other apparatuses, Dolly things, to tell us, you know, how these things are changing, because there is change. If we take a look at the score directional leadership, you know, which is really a function of, let's say, halfway through October to now, which is all of November, it's just a different mix of asset classes than it was, let's say, you know, in the summer. So we have some non-US groups up here in high direction, Europe being one of them, to echo mentioning what David said earlier, and emerging markets jumping in here, down here in the top score directional leadership. We have lots of value and just different things, just a different mix. So keep in mind that as we do penetrate into December, there's challenges for leadership. Although value seems distinctly a top word buzz line, which value and who they are is really the mix that you need to be mindful of as we carefully move across this month-end marker. But for more on momentum and how the dollar is faring, let's move over to John.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. So looking at the RS spreads this week, we've seen a continuation of that bounce after the big laggard rally that we saw when the inflation numbers came in a little bit different than people thought they were going to. So on the domestic side, which is the top right there, that's actually a good thing for us to see that bounce and to see some continued follow through there. We've seen a similar kind of pattern in developed markets. Emerging has been a little bit more muted in terms of the recovery we've seen after that big laggard bounce. So overall, things look pretty decent there. That laggard rally really is going to affect performance, but I don't think it's affected performance enough that we're looking at this kind of protracted laggard rally. It was a very short-lived thing. Obviously, the magnitude was very high in order for it to do what it did to the spreads, but it appears that we're kind of right back on trend here with the leaders outperforming the laggards. Now, moving over to the US dollar, we've seen the dollar reverse back down into a column of O's. We're sitting here at 105.50. A movement down to 105 would be that kind of third consecutive sell signal. We talked a lot about how the dollar tends to trend with these consecutive buys or consecutive sell signals. So that is certainly something to watch. That kind of 105 level would put in a new box for that third consecutive sell signal. And for more on what's going on in the crypto space, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thanks, John. Yeah, continuing developments within the FTX saga see contagion spreading to other crypto names and holding withdrawals from their indices or even declaring bankruptcy in some case. But coins of the Nasdaq crypto index, ticker NCI, seem to be shrugging off that developing news with 10 of the 11 coins within the index landing in positive territory and actually outperforming the S&P 500 over the last week. This is the first time that we've really seen said outperformance like that in 3 weeks since those FTX fraud, since that FTX fraud broke the headlines. But with that said, there really wasn't too many positive technical developments coming for the broad space, as many of the coins that we take a look at on this chart here found themselves with a pretty depressed technical posture over the last month or so. In fact, the actual only technical development came here from Chainlink, which was the leader of the group, up 15% over the last week, returning back into a column of X's and then posting a buy signal as well. But outside of that, a majority of these coins are going to need some further technical improvement before we can call a bottom and begin to consider exposure, broadly speaking. But one name that would benefit greatly from some further technical follow-through is Litecoin, ticker $LTC, which has strung together a pretty nice 2 weeks once you take a step back and look at it, surging, you know, just over 32%. Over the last 14 days or so, which has really led to a pair of consecutive buy signals here on the default chart and breaking through that key level of resistance here that we see dating back to May of this year at $73 and change. So move back here does bring it up slightly into overbought territory, actually the only coin within the NASDAQ crypto index to be able to say that there. But you do see a series of higher tops and higher bottoms here, which has led to a pretty constructive picture, all things considered, since yearly lows. Move back to $98 would move it back into a positive trend to be further positive confirmation for this specific coin. But with that said, I will pass it over to Joseph for more on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And, you know, when we look at the size and style rankings within DALI, as David mentioned, we don't see too many changes over the past week. You know, we still see a pretty good spread between value and growth, as Steve touched on. On the asset class group scores page, we see the same thing. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on kind of underneath the surface is looking at small cap value and large cap growth here. So kind of opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of size and also style. We've really seen this diverge since the beginning of October. Looking here, I mean, large cap growth just kind of meandered in the bottom, not really improved at all. And we see small cap growth has improved the score by almost a full point just in about 2 months. So as that spread continues to move higher, I mean, you got to look at that value and the small cap value space, especially as an area to keep an eye on, just picking up a lot of relative strength here in an area you may need to consider in your portfolios here pretty soon. Now moving over to US sectors, looking at healthcare and financials here. Again, looking at some scores here, you know, healthcare has kind of just traded sideways in terms of its overall average score since about July of this year, kind of bouncing around between a little bit above three, a little bit below three, but really held this around this 3.0 line pretty consistently. Hopefully we can see it start to trend higher and get closer to that four score area, but that's yet to be seen. Looking at financials here, this is one that's more so trended higher. You know, we did see it cross above three, and it, since then it's continued higher. So both groups are some of the stronger sectors on the system right now, but we do see a bit more improvement over the past couple of months from financials comparatively to healthcare. So just something to keep in mind there. Looking at XLF, the Financial Select Spider Fund here. Fund score 3.20, so we did see that get back above the 3.0 score line. Broke through a spread triple top at 35.50. Now, one thing I want to, you know, kind of a warning sign here is, you know, you're at roughly 60% overbought, which isn't heavily overbought, but when you look at this trend chart, you know, we pretty much rallied from 30 all the way to 36, and that's a pretty big stem for this chart. So something to keep in mind here, you know, new exposure to the space, you know, you may want to wait just a little bit to see if we can establish some closer buy support as we get close to heavily overbought territory. And we see this on the individual equity side too, looking at JP Morgan here, which is a 2 for 5er. Again, we see this overbought oversold reading of This one's actually heavily rebought at 82%. You know, nice rally, broke above a spread triple top here. So a big area of resistance, similar to XLF, but, you know, we do see this thing on a massive stem, you know, rallying from 102 all the way to 136, and in heavily rebought territory right now. So I think if you're expecting much more out of stocks like, you know, JP Morgan and maybe financials in the short term, may run into some headwinds just given the move that they've had. But we do see some longer term improvement at the same time. So for those looking for an entry point, I think you may be able to get a better one here in the next several weeks. But from a long-term perspective, we do see quite a bit of improvement, which is encouraging. Moving on to healthcare here, looking at XLV, you know, this one's pretty much traded sideways this whole year. A couple of the breakouts that you know didn't really materialize into much, but being able to purchase at the bottom of this range has been really beneficial if you've been building a position or just the space has done, you know, relatively well. We did see it break a spread triple top here at 136, kind of like financials here, getting up into or close to heavily overbought territory. So another thing to consider. And we see that on a couple of the charts here, you know, Eli and Lilly, which is a five for fiver, which is one that's been a bit frustrating, you know, really strong stock, trended well in the long term. But we do see it go through these periods where it kind of just consolidates, breaks higher, consolidates, breaks higher. And now we see it consolidating again. You know, it's at resistance. We're seeing the broad sector be a little bit frothy here. So I do think you can maybe get a better price on this one if you wanted to get in maybe the 350s or so. So again, some strong names, some encouraging things from a long-term perspective, but we do see a bit too much extension in the short term. Another one with a similar story there is going to be Amgen, ticker AMGN, four for fiver, weekly overbought oversold rating of 70%. We have seen this one pull back a little bit. Now this one broke out of a big kind of consolidation area, which is kind of the reason why it's at the top of its trading band, even though the move doesn't look too exceptional. I do think, you know, you may need to give it some time though. There's support here at 260, prior resistance was at 272. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get back into that range, making it a bit more actionable there. That's all I have today. I'll pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll go ahead and dive right into consumer cyclical as well as utilities. We actually saw consumer cyclical be the best performing spider over the past week, up over 50, actually in positive territory, up 56 basis points. But really one of the interesting developments is within the small cap space, you've actually seen somewhat better improvement and somewhat better chart action as far as looking for maybe some potential for upside. Looking at PSCD right now, it's rang up three consecutive buy signals with more recent action is reversed down into a column of those and is offering an entry point here for those maybe seeking this exposure to some small cap discretionary. A decent amount of retail in here that you'll see as well as some other textiles, but is something intriguing that we've seen it move back into a positive trend as well as show some further positive technical developments on the small cap side versus the large cap side. As far as stocks within the space, we actually wanted to look at WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, within the leisure space, as leisure was the top performing DWA sector over the past week, up over 2%, leading the way to the upside for all those 40 Dorsey Wright sectors. And as far as WWE goes, it's given two consecutive buy signals, with the most recent being a double top here a couple of weeks ago, or pardon me, last week at 80 as it rallied up to 81, is sitting in actionable territory, even at 45% overbought there, and with support there at 73, as well as at 69 with the bullish support line. From there, we actually saw some decent activity out of the gaming sector. Las Vegas Sands, LVS, has been one that we've spoken about before within this space and ranks fourth out of 16 in that gaming sector matrix and is a four for fiver with action this week reversed back into a column of X's there at 45. A move above 46 would be a second consecutive buy signal and bring the chart up to levels further we haven't seen since February of this year. And at this point, resistance there at 48. And from there, not much resistance till you get into the 60s, really, for LVS. So keep an eye on that $48 level of resistance for LVS. Another sort of DWA sector that we saw at least outperform the money market, or as well as the broader market, over the past week was the textiles DWA sector. It was up 29 basis points, but still technically outperformed and was in positive territory. One of the interesting charts within the space is Ralph Lauren's RL, 7th out of 25 in the textiles and apparel sector matrix. Recently moved back into a column of X's with action yesterday on its PRS chart, improving it up to a 3 for 5. Looking at the chart, the trend chart here, it recently completed a second consecutive buy signal, breaking a double top there at 106. And this comes after the stock had actually rallied above some pretty significant resistance here that dated back to August, as well as continued to rally here near term above resistance there that dated back to June from this year. So at this point, it has cleared some decent some resistance here on the chart, and at the moment showing some potential for upside, but do keep an eye out for further resistance, as really all the way up to 134 you have a couple of levels or a few levels that you might keep an eye on. But Ralph Lauren is one that seems to be improving, as well as showing positive technical developments within that textiles and apparel space. As far as utilities, not really a whole lot of change. XLU was down just 9 basis points, still technically outperformed the market over the past week, but overall not much change on its chart. Still sits on a column of X's, still maintains that buy signal there. I haven't seen it really improve much even with the action over the past week. But looking at stocks under the hood of XLU, we have seen some improvement from Sempra Energy at symbol SRE. It's a 3 for 5 ranked just in the top half of that gas utility sector matrix, as giving 2 consecutive buy signals and move back into a positive trend with Friday's action as it rallied above 164 there, improving it further to a 3 for 5. At this point, is one of the gas utility stocks that we see is showing some positive technical developments, and also maintains a decent yield just shy of 3% there, 2.8%. Another stock that we saw move back into a positive trend was American Electric Power, symbol AEP. Did so following Monday's action, has improved up to a 3 for 5, and at this point this follows 2 consecutive buy signals, and we really only see resistance here at 104, which it didn't meet back in April as well as August. So we have some potential for upside, but keep an eye out for where that resistance there at 104. But to continue our conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
All right. Thanks, David. Very few technical updates for industrial staples and real estate, given the abbreviated trading week. But a few things I did want to highlight today, just from a ranking perspective, industrials remain in equal weight territory. Staples, as mentioned before, still in overweight territory. And then real estate still second to last in Dolly sector ranking. So still firmly, broadly, and underweight. Starting with some comments on industrials, though, a lot of broad sector funds are in pivotal locations. Take, for example, the small cap industrials ETF PSCI, formed a double top right now and is nearing its highest chart levels from March and August of this year, which were both notable tops for the fund and really for the market as a whole. I think a further bullish confirmation will come at 96 to be spread triple top break and take out those highs or go above those highs from March and August of this year. Large cap, more commonly known fund XLI, is sitting at its highest chart level from August of this year. Your March highs were up at 104, so about 4% higher from the August highs. Point being, pivotal location on a bit of a stem here, I would add as well. So I think that is another fund to watch in the industrial space. Two names that have been positive, though, or more decisively positive over the past week. UPS, second consecutive buy signal coming off what looks to be some type of near-term bottoming here. No identifiable resistance really until around the $200 range. So that seems to be healthy and a name worth considering, especially with the 4 attribute stock rating. Counterpart FedEx, still a 0 attribute at this time. So between the two, UPS, broadly speaking, looks a bit more favorable technically. But FedEx, I would add some decent near-term price action as well. Formed a double top and is with 180, would give a 4th consecutive buy signal. Maybe something to consider, or at least put on a watch list for some further improvement, or maybe a shorter-term opportunity. As for staples, mentioned it's still in overweight territory. Just mentioned in some of the broad funds, XLP is getting close to its August highs as well. And I think that's going to be a theme for my comments today. So keep that level in mind. That's going to be at 77. A couple of the names that I don't mention as frequently that are still positive: General Mills sitting at all-time chart highs, $83, five consecutive buy signals, three attribute, but overall not much to say negative about the name here. It's up 23% this year. So if you're looking for some individual exposure, that's an idea. Monster Beverage, I mentioned before a while back, I wanted to bring this to your attention again. It's a five attribute name, also sitting at all-time chart highs right now, consecutive buy signals. Again, not much negative to say about it, apart from it being moderately overbought at the time, but two names worthy to kind of hold and some more focused staples exposure. And then lastly, for real estate, this is still in underweight territory, second to last in the Dolly sector rankings, as we led with an unacceptable fund score. Just note this near-term, very near-term improvement, string of consecutive buy signals and higher bottoms. You can see this similarly in EWRE, which is an equal weight real estate fund. Similar type of price action, maybe not as decisive as the cap weighted one, but much left to be desired still at this time. But I did want to note you are seeing some marginal improvement. I know last week I talked about some of those participation indicators that are just beginning to perk up. This is probably the best ETF scoring real estate fund that I could find right now, albeit it's still at a two. It's Invesco Active U.S. Real Estate ETF, PSR. Consecutive buy signals, close to getting back into a positive trend, which would be notable. That would come at $93. That would also improve its fund score. I was honestly looking for ETFs and the security screen within real estate. Pretty much none are above three unless it's an inverse or double leveraged inverse fund. So not a lot of opportunities in real estate right now. Focused exposure is still going to be recommended. So that's all I had for this week. So I'll conclude and give it to Jamie.
Not a lot to report on materials and energy this week. Materials remaining fourth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Spider Materials Fund, XLB, down about 1.5% over the last week, trailing the market slightly as the S&P was down about 1.1%. Really no changes to the chart, remains on two consecutive buy signals, has not yet been able to break through to 83 to give that third buy signal, pretty much the same position we saw the fund in at last week. Meanwhile, fund score remaining about the same as it was at our last update at around 3.2. Within the sector, continue to see the same areas of strength, steel, chemicals, forest products, ranking fourth, fifth, and sixth, respectively, in the DWA group matrix. So really not much, in the way of change within the materials sector, really pretty much the same as we saw last week. Moving on to energy, remains first in the Dolly sector rankings. Also not a lot of change here. XLE was down about 2.7% over the last week, so trailing the S&P by a little over 1.5%. We can see here it remains on a sell signal after breaking a double bottom at 88, but so far that support has held. It looks like it may be forming a potential triangle pattern here on the chart. The fund score for XLE has ticked down slightly, but remains, relatively strong or very strong at 5.82. A little bit of marginal weakening perhaps from the energy sector and XLE, but overall, the relative strength, quite high and remains atop the Dolly sector rankings. Not a lot of developments in either one of these sectors over the last week. So that's all I have for materials and energy, and I will pass it over to Miles for communication services.
Thanks, Jamie here. Jumping into comm services this week. The sector still sits at the bottom of our asset ranking pages. Both Dolly and the asset class group scores page didn't pick up anything meaningful over the last 7 days on either page. And XLC, that Spider Select Fund for Communication Services, was roughly on line with the broad S&P 500 this week, down about 90 basis points. Briefly echoing Will here, when you look at that, when you look for funds within the sector that have positive or above or acceptable 3.0 scores, it's few and far between, and that's echoed with individual equities as well. But a couple we want to bring to your attention this week: Walt Disney has certainly been in the news lately, but recently reversed back down to a comma of O's after failing a test of its negative trend line there. It's really proved, looking at the chart, to be a strong level of resistance throughout 2022 here. Long-term holders are going to want to see a reversal back up, and a chance for that Disney to break back into a positive trend comes with a move to 100 there on the default chart. And support there is seen at $91 and then further at 87 lows for the year. One name to look out for and potentially keep on the radar here is Omnicom Group, ticker OMC. Moved back into a positive trend here to start the month in November and then subsequently completed a bullish catapult with a buy signal there at $74 before continuing up into overextended territory, sitting with an overbought, oversold reading of 79 here. With constructive moves off these lows for the year, we could consider this name here a buy on pullback opportunity. Does sit 6th out of 44th within that media sector matrix. Also has a nice nearly 4% yield here that you could look for if you're looking for income. But that's all here for communication services this week, and I will toss it over to Ian to wrap up our sector coverage.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space has really not seen too much change from a relative strength perspective over the course of the past week, continues to down in the bottom end of the sector rankings. In the DALI domestic equity sector rankings there, hasn't really seen too much changes on the asset class group scores page either, not too many changes from participation perspective. So we'll be brief here, but do want to touch on a few individual names that would be prudent to keep an eye out for based on recent movement. One of those being Microsoft Corporation, ticker MSFT. This name ticked back up and has formed a triple top formation at 248. After giving three consecutive sell signals since September there. So it's still a negative trend. However, it's still a 3 for 5 would be considered a kind of hold area, buy hold area within the technical attribute ratings. Would certainly like to see this move back to a buy signal at 252. And then you're looking at further resistance above at the 264 threshold, which is going to be where that bearish resistance line is currently positioned. But nonetheless, I'd like to see if this can continue that move into the upside, get a little follow through there up into the low 250s from Microsoft. And then another name continuing with the big mega cap theme, looking at Apple's Inc., ticker AAPL. This stock failed another test of its bearish resistance line. So it moved back into a negative trend in September. It's continued kind of back and forth over the course of the past several weeks, bumping up against that bearish resistance line now on two separate occasions and failing on both of those times. So we've seen the movement to the downside over the course of the past week lead it to a chart position at 142. So still a 4 for 5 from an attribute perspective, favorable longer term picture, would certainly like to see it move back to a positive trend, which would come with potential movement into the 154 range there. So definitely a couple names on the mega cap side that would be prudent to keep an eye out here as we move into the last month of the year. One area within the semiconductor, we're within the tech space that has shown some notable improvement is semis. So looking at the Sure Semiconductor ETF SOXX, this is looking at a 2% scale. So you can change the scale for stocks down there to a percentage, defaults there for 2%. And you can see a pretty kind of consistent downtrend that we've been in. It's changed trends a few times, but a pretty consistent move lower. And if you kind of do a supplemental trend line, you're looking at kind of further resistance up in the low 400s. We haven't seen this 2% chart get two consecutive buy signals since this downtrend began. So if we got this chart to give two consecutive buy signals and saw it kind of push through that potential resistance in the low 400s, could be a pretty important thing there for the broader semi space. One individual name to keep an eye out there for semis is On Semiconductor Corp, ticker ON. This is a name we touched on a few times over the course of the past few weeks, but it's forming a kind of consolidation pattern, maybe a potential triangle pattern, we'll see, around the low 70s. So it's a 5 for 5, strong attribute name. Would look toward this as a potential opportunity, especially if it reverses back up into complexes and gets another buy signal there. But with that, not too much else to touch on in the broader technology space. So we'll wrap up there and go ahead and move into international equities, which I've seen a little bit more movement over the course of the past week. The international equities class actually in the month of November has picked up 45 RS buy signals in the DALI rankings, as we've touched on. But that's far and away the most of any any asset class in the month of November, and the biggest increase for international specifically since October of 2020, picked up over 70 at that time. So we're not quite there, I guess, with one day to go, but again, probably not going to get there with the last trading day here in November. Seen a broad participation across the board from many areas moving higher within the international equity space. We touched on EEM moving back to a buy signal. It's now with movement today on Wednesday, forming another double top at 39, would give a second consecutive buy signal with a potential move to 39.50. Still a weak fund score, but nonetheless, good to see that consistency of improvement there from the broader emerging market space. And then the developed market side, looking at EFA, still sits at the resistance point in a negative trend. We can get a further follow through up to the 67. We're about 50 cents away at the time of this reporting on Wednesday. We would see this name move back to a positive trend, certainly would lead to an improved longer term technical picture there. We've seen some movement over the course, we're in the country matrix rankings over the course of the month of November. We haven't seen many of the names that have maybe been in the headlines more. So looking at like China and Hong Kong, especially over the course of the past week, China's actually saw notable improvement in November, up over 26% from the broader iShares representative MCHI in the month of November, which is biggest month over month increase or month over month return since June of 1999. So real solid improvement from China there, largest improvement in over 20 years. However, we haven't seen that translate over into any improvement from a longer term RS perspective. Continues to sit down in the 40th out of the 42 names examined. We only saw one name move into the top quartile over the course of the month of November, and that was Denmark. So going to wrap up with a couple points there. Looking at the iShares MSCI Denmark ETF, ticker EDEN, this has been a real sharp improver over the course of the past several weeks. Ticked up over 20% since the end of September, is now sitting in pretty heavily overbought territory with an intraday overbought oversold reading of over 110% at the time of this recording on Wednesday. But nonetheless, could be an area to look on, maybe see a little bit of consolidation or kind of potential buy and pullback opportunity. A lot of that improvement has come as a result of improvement for Novo Nordisk, which is an ADR available with the ticker NBO. It's the single largest holding in EDEN at over 25% of the fund. And we've seen this drug maker biotech company get two consecutive buy signals recently. Again, it's sitting at resistance up at the level of 122, matching its all-time highs from April. But nonetheless, has been a pretty strong improver over the past few weeks. Could be an area to look toward on a potential buy and pullback opportunity. So with that, that wraps up most of what I'm looking to cover here for international. Go ahead and throw things on over to Jamie to wrap us up.
Not a lot of changes within fixed income this week. Long-term yields remaining about they were where they were last week. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield index remains at 3.7%, sitting on a sell signal. Reached a sell signal for the first time in a couple of months, taking out a couple of levels of support here. But we can see also remaining above, you know, its most recent level of support from October. The market in a bit of a holding pattern. Fed Chair Powell is expected to give a speech later this afternoon. Investors are looking for some confirmation that the Fed is going, in fact, to kind of slow its pace of rate hikes. So I think, you know, we will probably see some adjustments after that. But at the, you know, over the last week, it seems like the market in a bit of a holding pattern, awaiting those comments from Powell this week. At this point, the Fed futures market is pricing in about a 70% chance of a 50 basis point hike at the December meeting, 30% chance of a 75 basis point hike. Obviously, 50 basis points would be a reduction in the string of 75 basis point hikes that we've seen over the last several months. So right now, as I said, I think the market kind of in a bit of a holding pattern, waiting to get some more clarity from Powell. While longer term yields have moved lower or kind of stayed stagnant over the last week, we have seen shorter term yields continue to push higher. We can see here the comparison between the U.S. Treasury yield curve 2 weeks ago versus yesterday. And you can see that, you know, shorter term yields moving kind of notably higher, while long term yields have kind of moved lower over that period, further inverting the yield curve. You know, not necessarily a great sign for, you know, sentiment about the U.S. economy. Within fixed income, the relative strength picture remains largely the same. Inverse fixed income remains atop the asset class group scores rankings, followed by floating rates as the only two groups with scores above 3.0. Short duration, sitting at around 2.75, ranks third, but, you know, has faced some downward pressure as short-term yields have continued to push higher. So overall, not a ton of changes within fixed income over the last week. You know, relative strength remains in the same areas, and not a lot of movement within interest rates, except, you know, as we have seen short-term rates kind of push higher a little bit. Moving on to commodities. Commodities fell to third in the Dali asset class rankings, falling below domestic equities for the first time in several months. Also within the asset class, energy commodities fell all the way from first to fourth over the last week, and precious metals leapfrogged over agriculture to take the top spot within the intra-asset class rankings. So quite a bit of shuffling within commodities, both at the asset class and intra-asset class level. Looking at the continuous commodity matrix, a little bit different picture. We can see, you know, agriculture still, you know, dominating the rankings in the continuous commodity matrix. Natural gas has pushed its way up to number two, and then silver sitting at sixth. But, you know, a little bit different than the picture we're seeing in the Dali rankings, where, you know, you see energy has fallen all the way to the bottom. Meanwhile, precious metals has moved all the way to the top. You know, in this kind of ranking system, we still see the strength mostly lying within agriculture, with, you know, one or two energy and precious metal contracts kind of finding their way into the top. So taking a look at some individual contracts, first we will look at crude oil. We can see that it broke a double bottom at 75 on Monday. It has now kind of taken out that bottom bit of support that it had back in September, giving a third consecutive sell signal when it hit 75 and then continuing down to 74. It did have a pretty strong rally yesterday, made it up to 79, and then hit 81 today. But overall, you know, not enough to return it to a buy signal, and clearly that kind of negative trend remaining in place with crude oil. Looking at natural gas, it has had some constructive movement over the last week, broke a spread triple top on its 10-cent chart early last week, moving to a positive trend. We can see it then reverse down and then found support around $7, reversing up yesterday. So, you know, kind of seeing some divergence between crude oil and natural gas. You know, if you're kind of picking between stocks within the sector, just based on what we're seeing right now, you know, you may want to lean towards natural gas producers like Cheniere, over oil producers, as we do seem to be seeing some, you know, more strength within the natural gas market than oil just at the moment. And then taking a look at gasoline, we can see that it has continued down, giving a third consecutive buy signal and breaking below its previous range where it had found support in the 230s, falling all the way to 224 yesterday. So, you know, I think clearly kind of establishing a downtrend in gasoline prices here. You know, also, you know, another headwind for kind of the energy complex. And then finally, we will take a look at platinum. Didn't see any movement on any of the other precious metals charts, despite their kind of move to the top of the Dali commodities rankings. But we can see that platinum, you know, kind of recently returned to a positive trend, giving a third consecutive buy signal early last week, now moving into heavily overbought territory. But, you know, kind of showing that we are seeing some positive movement from precious metals, just not enough to develop any real chart action on the charts of gold or silver, which are, you know, obviously the big ones that we think of in precious metals. You know, for commodities at large, you know, I think a lot of the the kind of general commodities funds are going to be heavily overweighted towards energy. So, you know, the fact that we've seen energy move all the way down to fourth in the commodities rankings, definitely a headwind for those kind of broad commodities funds. Probably one of the main reasons that we are seeing commodities fall below domestic equities. You know, a lot of those kind of broad funds are really going to struggle as long as, you know, energy seems to be in a downtrend, or, you know, kind of a mixed bag between natural gas, oil, and gasoline. As, you know, in almost every case, energy is going to have the highest weight in those kind of broad commodity funds. So, you know, to the extent that you are maintaining commodities exposure, you may want to look to kind of diverge away from those kind of market weighted funds and look in to take exposure in individual commodity funds to the extent that, you know, they're available. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, and I will throw it over to John to wrap us up.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So the big thing that we've seen over the past week or two is that move by commodities down out of that number one area, and, you know, seeing domestic equities move ahead of that. So it's been a fairly quiet week, but that's a big thing to keep an eye on, as it's been our super, super busy year. We've got 1 month left in the year after today. So we'll be back next week to talk about all the changes that we see over this coming week.